Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report. Scala, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I welcome the CEO of Scala, Chris Riegel, who travels in the United States observing the different markets and at the same time the questions about the immediate future in the recovery from the pandemic if we are. Delta is here, making all the questions harder. We go immediately to China, however. Delta is also in China. And yet, I read from the Street.com reporting on the casino stocks of Macau. Macau's casino stocks are at or near all-time lows after a savaging this week. But it isn't the time to be buying them just yet. You need to be exceptionally brave, speculator, willing to play a little Chinese roulette. There's too much uncertainty to be able to derive any sensible value in these names. At the same time, from Bloomberg, China injected more cash into its banking system in a sign authorities are seeking to avert a funding squeeze amid a seasonal rise in financing demand and the intensifying debt crisis at China Evergrande. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. China Evergrande is property. That is the large property play of these last years, where 40% of the assets of Chinese families in property, in many instances, houses or apartments where nobody much lives, but it is a way of putting away savings. Evergrande now is said not to be able to pay its debts coming up, its debt load coming up soon. September 20th is mentioned. I bring this up at the same time with Macau because something clearly is disrupting the Chinese financial system. Is this a bubble bursting? Is this a layman moment? Seems to be the question that U.S. investors want to ask. In your measure, because you do business in China and you have work there, in your measure, is the Chinese economy acting strangely these days? Is there an alarm that we can see? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. For some years, there's been this property bubble that has been building in China that is similar to what we experienced in 2008, but an order of magnitude 8 to 10 to 12 times larger. When the cost of a condominium in Shenzhen or Shanghai is 50 or 60 or 70 times per square meter what it might be in New York or London, there's clearly a disruption. You're seeing with both Evergrande and with Macau what could be the very early stages of that bubble popping, Evergrande being the initial pop to that bubble, Macau being a canary in the coal mine, because Macau has been for decades a way for illegitimate money in China to become legitimate and washed out of the country. So the Chinese crackdown on Macau would seem to signal that the Chinese are trying to ensure there's no leaking of liquidity through Macau from the Chinese market, and there may be some capital constraint in China. That is translating now to the property sector, starting to see hints of it in the manufacturing sector, but something is definitely not right.
When quotes are given in Bloomberg, this is from economists, avoiding a systemic liquidity squeeze is the absolute priority, and the PBOC, the Chinese banking system, People's Bank of China, has the means to do so. And then he goes on to say, this economist, Wei Yao, a layman-style financial market meltdown is not our top concern, but an extended and severe economic slowdown seems more probable. What does it mean for us? Let's talk about our backyard. If they're not going to go layman, does a severe economic slowdown affect our business in recovery, Chris?
It certainly does. In one thing, if you look at China as a manufacturing center for the world, it changes credit terms. It changes capital structures. And the example might be that previously manufacturing in China might have been payment on shipment. Now you're seeing deposits on production. You're seeing more capital required to move product. You're seeing challenges with undercapitalization of certain sectors like shipping, lack of shipping containers or vessels that may be coming from China. What it ultimately translates to is a risk for the American investor who may have investments in China that could now be significantly pressured or undervalued, as well as to the manufacturing system globally. If that Chinese factory grinds to a halt, it has waves of impact around the globe.
My memory of the 2008 crisis was in early August, I was at a festive event where for the first time I heard that there was something odd going on. The rate charged for overnight money, the best rate from bank to bank, had skyrocketed, suddenly spiked up. It took more than a month for that to come to the crisis of early September, which we now remember as a crash of the markets and the Congress getting involved with TARP. That was a slow-moving crisis that everybody knew about, but you were waiting for a moment when you say it's here. We're told now that Chinese markets are cautious, but they're not selling off sharply like the Shanghai market this morning. Is China run in a fashion that's similar to our system? It takes weeks for the bad news to actually take hold, or because I think of it as non-transparent, can you see now the trouble ahead? You've noted to me that there are investors in Evergrande who are showing up at the offices and making what you'd have to say confrontational statements.
I think what is fascinating to watch is if you remember in the crisis of 2008 around Lehman, the phrase moral hazard. So moral hazard played into, will the government bail out private companies for what was arguably bad behavior in lending? In China, you've seen a pivot more towards a Maoist approach from Mr. Xi in the last several months. Was that setting the stage because they knew there was a challenge coming with Evergrande, with the banking system, and the moral hazard is Mr. Xi being able to say, geez, it's these bad capitalists at Evergrande that did this to you people, but I'm here to save you. Is this a random occurrence, or is this something that the government will allow it to fail, number one? Number two, once those dominoes start to fall, the results are extremely unpredictable, and unpredictable both on the economic side within China and the social side. So what does that mean in the future is very much unknown.
Long Beach, California. Photographs that I've seen match the reports you had some weeks ago when you flew over Long Beach. The lineup of container ships, not only that, but also the inability to get enough trucks to unload the container ships, perhaps the ability to get enough employers to unload the container ships. Is that China? Is that supply chain in inflation? Is that limiting our recovery?
Absolutely, and that part of the disruption in the supply chain is not a China-triggered event. That is a U.S.-triggered event where the absolute shortage of labor in the country, of people willing to work, to drive the trucks, to unload the container ships, to move the product via rail. There is an absolute logistics meltdown that continues to happen across the country, and all of the big shippers, all of the big customers of shippers are extremely aware of highly 600-800% spikes in prices, non-guaranteed delivery times, windows, and port backups in Long Beach and other ports around the country. What does that mean to the end consumer? It ultimately means the grocery store, the general goods, the automobile, everything is going to go up in price significantly in the coming weeks and months, and this will translate to not transitory inflation, but spiked, very intense inflation to the end consumer as we're going closer to Christmas.
And is the puzzle about workers, because there are lots of jobs that are not being filled, is the supply chain a function of the recovery? Is it Delta? Can we tell? Is it important to be able to make a distinction there, Chris?
I think it's important to make a distinction. I think there is – Delta is certainly part of it, but with the large chunks of people leaving the workforce, the question is, are we in a transitional period in the U.S. economy where the U.S. is going to look much more like France than the raw entrepreneurial basis that's made the U.S. great over the last 50-100 years. The structure is becoming less and less participation in the workforce, more and more living off of some form of government entitlement or other, and that's extremely dangerous for the future of the country because we're training people not to be independent, not to be entrepreneurial, but to depend on the government. And that's part of what you're seeing in this reverberation of people not participating, high unemployment, and lack of jobs.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com. He travels widely. What he sees right now is the U.S. in transition from the full pandemic to this in between of Delta and the unknowns. But Long Beach, the photographs of Long Beach are fixed. Those container ships are lined up and waiting for offloading. When and if that happens is unknown. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.